One for the money. Disc 6.
Chapter 10. I was home by 9, and for lack of something better to do, I decided to clean my apartment. There were no messages on my machine, and no suspicious packages on my doorstep. I gave Rex new bedding, vacuumed the carpet, scrubbed the bathroom, and polished the few pieces of furniture I had left. This brought me up to 10. I checked one last time to make sure everything was locked, took a shower, and went to bed. I awoke at 7, feeling elated. I'd slept like a brick. My machine was still gloriously message-free. Birds were warbling, the sun was shining, and I could see my reflection in my toaster. I pulled on shorts and shirt and started coffee brewing. I opened the living room curtains and gasped at the magnificence of the day. The sky was a brilliant blue. The air was still washed clean from the rain. And I had an overwhelming desire to belt out something from The Sound of Music. I sang, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." But then I didn't know any more words. I twirled myself into my bedroom and threw the curtain open with a flourish. I froze at the sight of Lula tied to my fire escape. She hung there like a big rag doll, her arms crooked over the railing at an unnatural angle, her head slumped forward onto her chest. Her legs were splayed so that she seemed to be sitting. She was naked and blood-smeared. The blood caked in her hair and clotted on her legs. A sheet had been draped behind her to hide her from view of the parking lot. I shouted her name and clawed at the lock, my heart hammering so hard in my chest that my vision blurred. I heaved the window open and half fell onto the fire escape, reaching out for her, tugging ineffectually at her bindings. Lula didn't move, didn't utter a sound, and I couldn't collect myself enough to tell if she was breathing. "You're going to be okay," I cried, my voice sounding hoarse, my throat closed tight, my lungs burning. "I'm going to get help." And under my breath I sobbed, "Don't be dead. God, Lula, don't be dead." I floundered back through the window to call for an ambulance, caught my foot on the sill and crashed to the floor. There was no pain, only panic as I scrambled on hands and knees to the phone. I couldn't remember the emergency number. My mind had shut down in the face of hysteria, leaving me to cope helplessly with the confusion and denial accompanying sudden and unexpected tragedy. I punched 0 and told the operator Lula was hurt on my fire escape. I had a flashback of Jackie Kennedy crawling over the car seat to get help for her dead husband, and I burst into tears, crying for Lula and Jackie and for myself, all victims of violence.